Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio, brought to you by PDMS.
Hello, I'm Roger Watterson with the 13th in our series of 15 programmes in which we meet the candidates standing for election in the 2011 general election. With me are five contestants for the one-seat constituency of Peel. And during the next hour, we'll be exploring their political views, aims and ambitions, and entering into discussion about the issues of the day. But before that, we'll take a flying visit to the Sunset City with John Moss.
Peel, of course, hasn't been Peel forever. Once upon a time, it was called Hometown. Then the English came, this was in the 17th century. As they didn't have any VAT cash to confiscate, they looked around for some other way to really get up the noses of the locals. And changing the city-town-village's name was as good a way as any. They also changed the names of some streets as well, which prompted a local strike by postal workers, which was quashed with a whiff of grape shot. That last bit of information may be apocryphal. Peel is the, or was the name for a castle, so in effect we have two castle towns. Pertnahentia, incidentally, means port of the isle or islet. Has it ever been called a rose-red city by a poet? Possibly. Peel is synonymous with fish. By the 1880s, it was the big employer, fisheries, with about 3,000 men and boys employed with ancillary businesses, such as shipbuilding, providing employment to hundreds more. That was then. Today, there are some boats, but only a handful. Well, let's look at that other big bone of contention. OK, Peel has a cathedral, but does that make it a city? And if it is a city, why do they have town commissioners? These days, Peel is rather like a donut. Before angry locals arrive at my door, let me explain. The jam in the middle is the red-bricked old town, but around are the new developments of Ballawattleworth. Lots more people. So there's a discussion about representation. Is Peel and its hinterland deserving of a doubling of its Keys membership? Should there be two MHKs? And do the new residents look to Peel or prefer to cross the island to other shopping opportunities? And if they do that, how can they be persuaded to do otherwise? But to return to Inside the Donut, few will doubt the marina has done the job it was intended to do, not only make the harbour look good, but also get more footfall on the quayside and into the streets, and to add to the celebrated whiff of damp oilskins back in Peel. And on an aside, why isn't there a plaque on the edge of the harbour where the wunderkind Ellen MacArthur stepped ashore after a choppy arrival on her trip around Britain when she was about 7 years old? But leaving the briny blue to examine the roads, would a bypass road around Peel to Ballawattleworth be a relieving traffic godsend or an asphalt bungle? The possibility of a bypass through Ballawattleworth has been the subject of a petition for redress of grievance. Traffic through the town itself. Its streets were designed for the horse and cart. Sewage, my apologies. But how to clean up Peel's act has been the subject of meetings and arguments and still hasn't been resolved. The offer of a treatment plant in Fields behind the power station was withdrawn after local hostility. Smell coming from the open ponds were viewed with distaste, though the government argued smell wouldn't be an issue. There are development hopes for inside Peel and there are plans to give the cathedral a thorough makeover. Peel has one more claim to fame. It's the birthplace of the Peel microcars, made by the Peel Engineering Company in the 1960s. The only Manx cars ever built. Top Gear loved them. Jeremy Clarkson drove a P50 around Broadcasting House, only pausing briefly to admire Fiona Bruce's backside on the way. More Manx than any other constituency, Peel is a unique community which will demand much of its parliamentary representative.
John Moss. Now to our candidates in the order they'll appear on the voting paper. Tim Crookall is the retiring MHK and chairman of the Isle of Man Water and Sewage Authority. Roger Gimbit is a member of the Peel Commissioners. Dr. Leslie Hanson, son of the late Betty Hanson, MLC, and a dentist in the town. And Ray Harmer, Cambridge educated and works in the finance industry. He's a Peel Commissioner. And Aaron Cacken, he's the proprietor of a kitchen company, retained firefighter, and a former member of the Peel lifeboat crew. Well, we are short introductions over. Let's find out now what they have to say. As is customary in all of these election programmes, I shall now invite each candidate to talk to us for a maximum of 2 minutes on any subject of their choice, and this they may do without interruption, except by me if they wander over the 2 minutes. I'll call on them in alphabetical order, which means that the first to speak is Tim Crookall.
Thank you, Roger. It's been an honour and a privilege to have served the people of Peel and the island for the last 5 years. During that time, I have been on 6 departments and authorities and numerous standing or select committees as well. My commitment to the job has been totally 100% as the independent member for Peel. I believe that during that time, my apprenticeship, the only way to learn the ropes was to get involved in as much as possible. No other member has had three departments continuously throughout the last 5 years. As chairman of the Water and Sewage Authority, I went to Tynwald with for a £39 million plus financial motion and was successful, thus enabling the authority to continue work with its work to prevent raw sewage being discharged into the sea. Unfortunately, this did not include Peel and St John's due to a decision by some of the commissioners in 2009. The island is now in a period of time when it needs to make sure, more than ever, that we need to continue to deliver the right economic conditions and legislation for the business sectors to continue to prosper. The continuous growth over the past 27 years has happened because the right decisions were made by members of Tynwald, a lot of whom have been here for some time, and very ably advised by some of our senior civil servants, who are also still serving the island. We have had the continuity and stability which has helped to create the right conditions for growth. Although government is heading for much tougher times than it has known for some time, I believe that we will be able to deal with the situation we face. The recent creation of the Isle of Man Finance Partnership is a joint venture between government and the Isle of Man Chamber of Commerce, and is an example of public and private sectors linking up for the benefit of the island. Locally, I have supported government to continue to invest in Peel with the new doctor's surgery, more new and refurbished local authority housing, new and refurbished units in Peel, in Mill Road, creating opportunities for work again. We've seen a new private nursing home and the completion, of course, of the marina of over £6 million. Peel certainly has not stood still for the last 5 years. We have also seen properties from 130,000 up to £1.5 million.
Right, okay, Tim. Thank you very much, Tim. There, well, we've run out of time there. Now, Tim Crookall is followed by Roger Gimbert.
Good evening. I'm Roger Gimbert, and having spent the last 7 years as a commissioner, I now would like to be your MHK for Peel. I've used the past few months to hold numerous surgeries, visit many of you, and engage with social media. And now I believe I have a good grasp of the issues facing our community. No doubt we'll debate national issues and the economy over the coming hour. So let's focus on the important local issues now. There is IRIS, our roads, parking, play areas, the priority service and nursery places. Firstly, IRIS. We need the sewage problem to be resolved, and the easy answer would have been to go along with the open air sewage system in Peel. But this would have been wrong. So I took the tough decision not to take the easy way out. I will continue to work for a solution and favour a facility at Knockalo to treat the sewage of the west of the island. My second key area is our road infrastructure and parking. We now have restrictions in place that mean all HGVs have to use Church Street and Albany Road to cross town. I believe this is unsafe and we need a solution in the form of a bypass. Peel also needs more parking and I will continue to seek out appropriate solutions that meet the needs of residents and visitors. The third area is the provision of more play areas for children. We need to encourage children to be healthy and active and help reduce antisocial behaviour. I'll work with the commissioners to seek an increase in their budget for play areas and also with developers to ensure that all developments include suitable facilities. The fourth area is the provision of a priority service from the west. I think it's an absolute disgrace that the new medical facility built in Peel didn't offer this service. At the very minimum, a 1 day per week service should be held in the west. Finally, we must also look to provide preschool nursery places for all children so that children get a good start to their education. Investment in our children is a long-term investment for the success of our community and must be encouraged. To summarise, I'm working towards a suitable sewage treatment facility, investigating road infrastructure and parking options, more children's play areas, retiree service and the provision of nursery places in Peel. Thank you.
Right, from Roger Gimbert, we now go to Leslie Hanson.
My name's Leslie Hanson. I've been a dentist from Peel for 31 years. Peel has changed a lot over the years, and unfortunately the services as regards health and education have in actual fact are now worse than they were when I first came to Peel 31 years ago. It is not anyone's fault in government as much as they have provided the money and facilities for the people in Peel, but unfortunately when we have an open door policy of letting people come into the island, the money from government and facilities within Peel and even the infrastructure in Peel has not been able to cope with the influx of new residents. I believe I'm the only candidate, according to the manifestos, that has identified immigration as a problem. They're going from door to doorstep around Peel, This seems to be coming up more and more. Children are not being able to get places in preschool. People are now having to wait 2 weeks to see a doctor. Housing is a problem as much as the cost of housing, availability for the local people in Peel. It's a supply and demand problem. If you have a continuous demand letting people in, you will always have a supply problem, and that is why we now have problems with the Manx people trying to afford a house, particularly in Peel. This is what I got around the doorstep. A lot of their disposable incomes are going, for people who can afford a house, are going into mortgages. The infrastructure as regards the sewage system within the Peel area, people are saying it's a problem as regards it's not coping with the present population of Peel, and now we see that they're wanting to build, is it 150 new houses in Peel?
Right. Leslie Hansen, thank you for that. And now on to Ray Harmer, please.
First, my. I wish to be a member of the House of Keys to see the Isle of Man prosper under wise financial stewardship and appeal to have the investment and representation it needs. It's a vital that an MHK and the government take ownership of problems. I would fight for Peel. Peel has developed significantly and has much to offer, and it's time for us to take our place at the top table. We need to recognise the uniqueness and special qualities of our Manx heritage and the culture and to stand up for what is best for our nation. We do not have to kowtow to the UK government and can and should make decisions that are right for Ireland. We have independence in so many ways, which we need to cherish and develop in a mature way. We should not look at things that just sound good for the moment, but at long-term strategy. And where some may not be able to see the wood for the trees, I would seek to get to the heart of the problem. In particular, nationally, we have to continue to focus on growth. Any cuts mustn't be short-term and broken down, but need to be focused. And we really need to look at our bureaucracy and the way that we deal with things. We need to look at our VAT agreement, and we need to renegotiate better. For Peel, it's a wonderful place, but when it's wet, there aren't the things to do. And we need to look for better amenities and services for all ages, such as a free nursery place for each child, return of a chiropody service and a community centre and gym facilities. But more importantly, we need employment. For regeneration to start, we need to have employment, and we need to bring that and encourage that into Peel. We need to have immediate investment in our sewage infrastructure, and it's vital that Blue Flag is obtained for our beach. And we need support for our retail investment in parking.
Right, that was Ray Harmer. Now, and finally, but last but not least, on to Aaron Cacken.
Go ahead. Most of my listeners, I'm Manx born, I've lived in Peel my whole life. I'm married with five children and I run a business in Peel. I believe that we should have representation that is open, honest, accessible and accountable. In my opinion, the most important quality we need in government for the foreseeable future is common sense. We need members who can work together for the good of the island, and in Peel we need someone who can negotiate efficiently to secure the support of other members for government investment in our beautiful city. I believe out of the five of us standing, I'm the best suited to represent Peel. I understand its people, I share their love for our piece of the island and the pride we have in it. If you want representation that will always work for the benefit of Peel and the island, without constantly keeping an eye on their own political advancement, then you should vote for me.
Right, that was Aaron Cacken. Well, now, all of our candidates have spoken. Now it's time, perhaps, to delve a little into their political philosophies and their views on some of the issues of the day. Now, all five manifestos have dealt with many issues which are common in Peel, and some have gone into very different issues as well. One of those that I noticed, some of them are actually, to use that famous phrase, fighting words. Aaron, because you've said it right at the front of your manifesto, it was time Peel had a voice. Well, Tim here is not exactly a shrinking violet, is he?
I think, in my opinion, the opinion of many people I've spoken to around Peel, Tim has been a shrinking violet in the House for the last 5 years. We've heard very little of him, and what we have heard hasn't necessarily been to the benefit of Peel. I'm not saying for 1 minute that Tim hasn't worked hard. I'm sure he has worked very hard. I just feel that he's maybe been dragged into the whole system a little bit before without actually being able to represent what he was the people of Peel.
So how do you think that you will do any better once you're tied into the system?
Well, for one thing, I don't think I would be tied into the system. I think I would manage to keep myself independent. I've never been very good following other people when they want me to. I think you need to be able to stand on your own two feet and voice your own opinion.
One of the problems with Tynwald is, as there's no party politics, it's often a matter of persuasion and compromise. You don't always get your own way by banging people's heads on the wall.
It is, which is why you have to form your alliances when you go in. You have to look at the surrounding area. We've got Glenfeara and Michael at the end of the day. Speak to them too. MHK's work to try and get a plan for the west of the island, because it would benefit the whole of the west of the island. If Peel benefits, Michael will benefit, Glenfeara benefits.
Well, Tim, how do you react to that, that you spent the last 5 years...
It's quite ironic to listen to, really. I mean, picking up the last point first, I mean, I've not had a great relationship with David Cannon, and I don't dislike him, and I don't think he dislikes me, but we've sort of never worked together much, and David has kept himself very much to himself. At the end of the day, Peel has got a new surgery, which 5 years ago I said we needed to have. Michael didn't get it. Why was that? Because I worked with the department at the time, and he wouldn't work with the department. I joined 5 years ago, when I was lucky enough to be voted in 5 years ago. I made an alliance, if you like, with the other five new members at the time. We've worked well together over that time. We've actually helped to defeat Tony Brown on several issues over the last 5 years. And so I just refute that. You said in your speech you had to work with others. I've done that for years. And when you look at, we've had the marina finished off. We had £6 million there. We've had the surgery. We've had new units down to the fish yards. We've had old ones reopened. We've had over 20% increase in the employment down there. You know, there's... The Manx Wildlife Trust is the Town and Village Regeneration. The chairman, I've helped to get an extra £80,000 for those. I don't stand up and give it loads of rabbit in Tynwald. I don't have to do that. I do all my work behind the scenes. You know, I'm not one that just stands up there like one or two others in there and just shouts and rants and raves and objects to everything. There's ways and means of doing things. And that's
so you would say that you've been fairly effective in the last 5 years, would you?
Absolutely, yes.
I would argue that as part of the expansion appeals had through the new housing, the doctor's surgery was a necessity. The marina was already on its way before you came in.
Pontoons were.
The pontoons had already been asked about before you came in.
They'd been asked about. There's nothing guaranteed.
There was nothing guaranteed.
The former member didn't want them. She didn't want the marina.
It was pretty much certain that something was going to happen there. I'm not saying you never worked towards it and you didn't put into it.
There's no guarantee. I mean, it could have gone to Ramsey or Port St Mary.
At no point have I said that you haven't worked very hard, Tim. What I'm saying is the perception of you in Tynwald has been... somebody who's been very, very quiet.
Well, before I move on to Ray, because I want to ask him something on a similar subject, but how could you say that is the Tynwald perception? What do you use for your source of information?
I'm saying it's the perception of the people of Peel, people right. You speak to when you're knocking on the doors.
Right, well, let's just go to Ray Harbour. You have not gone into personalities there, but you have said that Peel needs stronger representation. What did you mean by that, then?
Well, there's a number of different ways of... Firstly, our vote in Peel is half... the vote everywhere else. So for example, our constituency is the same size as one of the Douglas ones, and they get two MHKs, we get one. Secondly, I think, you know, looking forward, there are issues now. We're all, if you like, vying for one position. There isn't a position that's in the past. We have to look forward. Mm-hmm. So none of us have our MHK at the moment. So we have to all say, well, how are we going to look forward in the next 5 years? I believe that we need to fight for the things that need of appeal, for amenities, for facilities that are lacking. You know, if you look at the roads, the maintenance of the isn't there, the sewage issue, you know, we need to fight for those. And that's what I believe I would do.
Yeah, but these are, of course, specifically local issues to Peel. I notice all your manifestos have a high proportion of local issues in it compared to some constituencies. But, of course, this is a national election.
Absolutely. And this is where I think I hope that I could bring my skills in economics and in my MBA to fight for those things on a national basis, to take my experience in negotiations in business and bring those through in for the VAT and those kind of things. Because it is a very, very difficult time. It's a time for serious politicians, serious issues, and if we look at if we deal with you know, the growth and of our economy, if we don't deal with that, if we don't try and develop our niche businesses, if we don't deal with the bureaucracy in government, the problems in various sectors like health, yes, and IT, we're going to have problems, and the reserves will eventually run out.
Okay, now I'll come back to that.
Sorry, can I just pick up on that? But do you not think that's all happening though? Because our economy is still growing by over 4%. You know, compared to everybody else in Europe, you know, they'd kill for what we've got at the moment. You know, you said in your first declaration paper that went out, you said we need to go back down to London and bang the table and rediscuss, review this £75 million. It was already signed. It was there. It was in there. You can review it every 2 years. You can't go down and review it. It was an agreement between two countries. And one wanted to review it, and it was done. You can't just be that simple and say we can go down and review it. It wasn't possible.
Well, we haven't, as far as I'm concerned, unless we've signed in the last couple of weeks, we haven't signed the latest 75. Now, it going back, it is to do with the fact of how much actually we collect. We collect an enormous amount. If you take our GDP, which was 3 or 4 years ago, 3.5 billion, you could approximate it 4 billion. 20% of that is 1 billion or whatever, 700 million to 1 billion. We collect a lot of VAT. I know our business collect a lot of VAT. We can't just simply give in because UK changed the formula. Effectively, what they did is they took certain parts of the GDP figure and they took them out and said that doesn't count anymore, so therefore you're going to get less. And the second point I would raise is we've had this VAT going three times to come back. You can't, if you were selling a car or a house, you don't accept somebody to come round and say, well, actually, you know what, I've changed my mind about the price of that car. It's basic negotiation. And I've seen the team that deals with VAT is dealing with 0-10, dealing with our euro negotiations, and I think they've been stretched. And I don't think we've put enough investment into that team to actually deliver the right results. And on negotiations.
Still with the growing economy, though, that team, as small as it may be, you know, these guys and ladies have been there for not for so long, but for a long time now. They know the system, they know what they're doing, and that's why we're in such a good position.
But isn't that perhaps chasing after the growth in the economy a slight red herring? Because I think what the general view of many people is, yes, there is a growth in the economy, but there's been a considerable amount of inefficiencies that need addressing within the government, which is not what Ray's talking
about.
Absolutely, there is inefficiencies. You know, I mean, over the last 20 years, as it's been growing, they've just been throwing money at problems. You know, and that's probably happened not so much in the last 5 years, because over the last 2.5 years, you know, they started to tighten the belt when they had the first big hit.
But they haven't tightened the belt. The management structures, if you take in IT, are appalling. You know, it has a bad relationship with other departments. It hires out contractors at exorbitant rates. You take the euro, where we lost two million in that debacle.
That was a genuine mistake.
It's not genuine, because it happened before, previous years, for a Manx transmitter. That it's a similar, it's a financial, basically, when you buy something in euros, you should have the euros to pay it. We didn't. That is a financial management tool, and that's what I'm talking about, financial management. We've not had the financial management discipline over the last 5 years.
Now, can I go over on to financial management too? Because Leslie Hanson, in your manifesto, you come out with quite a strong statement very early on in the manifesto, and that is that if elected, the first thing that you would try and ensure would be a full government audit is undertaken,
audit.
Independently taken outside. By independent outside auditors. Mm-hmm. Now, what's the purpose of that? Because there's obviously quite sophisticated auditing systems in existence already.
Yes, but they're not independent.
Mm-hmm.
We know how much debt the government's in. What we're told, what I want to find out, is what we haven't been told. Because I don't think we can make any plans, long-term plans for the future, as regards spending on any projects whatsoever, until we have looked into how much our liabilities are as regards debt and also long-term pension and other liabilities.
But the government doesn't have a national debt, does it?
Well, we don't know until we get the audit done, do we?
Well, it's not allowed statutorily to have a national debt.
It can
have borrowing
statutory
to projects, but not a national debt.
But until we have an audit, no one can say that for certain.
Hmm.
And that's why I'm saying an outside independent audit should be done to see exactly where we are. And then we can, from that point, we can identify our problems and then we can address them with a long-term economic policy.
How far would that audit go? Because government accounting is basically cash book accounting. Would you go into the value of assets and other issues, which are always difficult to quantify?
That would be for the independent auditors. Mm. I mean, I'm not an accountant.
Well, you'd have to give them a brief, wouldn't you? But
yes.
I mean, the cost of doing something like that would be phenomenal.
Would it save a lot, of course?
Well,
would it?
Well, I don't know.
That's if you don't trust the figures that were already given.
The point is, no, I don't.
Right. Do you trust the figures that you get, Roger?
Well, I've been looking into a set of figures that's been sent out by the House of Commons, and that was sent via the PAG, and they're actually quoting different values, and it would look like we went from 230 million in 2009 to 334 million a year later, and then they're looking to actually drop us down to about 270 million year three. So I'm a bit uncertain as to how they've actually got their figures. So I suppose in a way I agree with Leslie in the fact that, that the figures seem to be smoke and mirrors. And I would actually question where the extra £104 million has actually gone to in 1 year and whether or not that's been done on purpose or not. So it's one of those things that the UK government actually think that, you know, we've actually changed the way the figures were actually worked, and they came back to us. And you've got to remember that when they actually looked at the latest stage, they actually said that we were getting 18% per head of population compared to their 6% per population of the VAT part. They just wanted to bring it back to more level playing field, and they have done.
Yes, but of course, it's always been their policy in all aspects to have this level playing field. But Tim, just back a few moments ago, we were talking about performance of government, and you'd quoted the fact that the Alemán economy is still on a growth.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed it is, but there are elements in that growth that are not trickling down, aren't there? I mean, if I were to say to you, are you happy with the growth in the retail in Peel, in the retail sector, I don't think the answer would be no, wouldn't it?
Absolutely no, and certainly, you know, we'd have all expected it to be better with the, you know, with the new housing estates. That hasn't happened, which is a great shame, but, you know, it just tends to be it's easier for whoever lives up there to do most of their shopping in Douglas when they're working or wherever they tend to be.
Parking. It's like we need to be looking at additional parking.
You know as well as I do, we've been looking at it for 5 years.
Well, the issue is that we can't.
That's not just down to parking, that's down to
some people can walk.
If we had more parking, it would be a catalyst. It would actually be more parking provides more shoppers, more shoppers, more shops. And it's a very simple.
It doesn't matter how many parking spaces you've got there if the shops are empty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the end of the day, you've got a shop on the prom that brings thousands of people to Peel every year to buy ice cream.
And the commissioners are in the process of trying to shut them down. And we get every single time where people are saying that they drive around, can't find somewhere to park, and they drive off. So if we actually had more parking available in Douglas Street Marketplace, we'd actually be able to have more people shopping. If we had more people shopping, we'd have more shops. Simple.
I think the key thing here is you need to bring jobs back into Peel. Absolutely vital, and I think government jobs have to take the lead. Everything the government does has to take the lead because it's about building community. I think we need to take this forward as a vision for the whole of our nation, and to say, well, why do we have to compartmentalise everything? You know, it's the same with why do we have to have everything in Spring Valley Estate? Why do we all have to drive there and have rather than have our businesses there? If you can work and play and shop in the same place, that's where we need to be aiming for. And government needs to take.
We can't just shift people about, can you?
We have to be realistic now, though. I mean, you have to realise government is now cutting back on everything it's got, especially office space. And I've just had a press release go out this week saying last year so far we've saved £1.85 million on getting rid of office space that wasn't used or selling off. You know, we're not going to get that anywhere around the island. As much as we'd all love to see an office in Peel like, you know, the new one out at St John's, that's not going to happen for a considerable period of time now. What we need to, you know, is works down at Mill Road Yard, or I've heard in the last 24 hours, there's a good chance there's a company going to come to Peel and set up, which is great news for Peel. Government isn't going to come to Peel or to Ramsey or to Castletown in the foreseeable future. They're closing everything down that they can to save money.
What about the government meeting demand for things like small industrial units?
We've been doing that, Aaron. I've just literally come from a meeting this afternoon where down in the fish yards there, DED and DEFRA have been working together. There's going to be at least three new units open down there, probably double the employment down there from 150, 160 to over 300, and provide a lot more work down there.
It's all right opening premises and properties, but are there people to go in them?
It's not. Some of them will be, but there's nobody else to do the jobs.
A huge proportion of the people working down in fish yards now are on work permits.
And why is that? Because he's got less than 2% unemployment, and those 2% either don't want to work or don't want to work down
there. This is the point I make. If you open new premises in a town such as that, have you got the population and the skills and the people to work in them, or is this just a cosmetic idea? I mean, will it create extra business, or will it just create more empty properties?
No, down in the fish yards?
Whatever.
No, well, certainly the fish yards, they'll all spend in the town. They do spend in the town. They come into Peel, they don't all live in Peel, but they'll all come in on the bus or in the cars. They're shopping in the morning, they're getting the pies and the newspapers and things. Those people are spending in the town.
Just one thing. I'd have to take issue with this. Technology and things have moved on these days. We don't have to have offices all in the same place. It can actually be cheaper to put house offices in Peel.
And, of course, you've got to create the skills where people have to travel the other way, of course. Then you've got another parking problem, which was the argument. But could we just move on off the on sure. of the issue, because we've got a few we should do with getting through tonight. Regeneration. You've mentioned this before, Ray, full occupancy of retail outlets. How on earth are you going to achieve that in the time of pressure on the retail trade?
Well, I think again, it comes back to what I was saying about jobs, but it also comes back to the regeneration, looking at the wider things. I think sometimes it's been quite narrow and just looked at architecture. It needs to look at the community, and it needs to try to attract shops through grants, through rebates. But shops and the presence of shops is really important.
It is, but you can only do so much for some people, and you've got to ask them to put some input in as well. You know, as well as I do, in the town and village regeneration, when we asked people, you know, to go 50-50 on painting of the properties, a lot of them even said no to that.
We haven't gone out.
We've asked them once.
Right, let's just change the subject a little now. Come on to a more national subject for a moment. Leslie, in your manifesto, mm-hmm. you made a very clear statement that you want to make pensions secure. Mm-hmm. Now, there's been an awful lot of talk about pensions during this election and previously. Mm-hmm. Making pensions secure is an ambition, but nobody's really come up with the answer yet. How would you do it?
Well, they were secure until they spent the, is it £200 or £300 million pension pot, which was supposed to be ring-fenced, to build the new Nobles Hospital. And then they said, promised faithfully, that they would pay it all back again. The whole idea is, as you said earlier on, the Isle of Man cannot run a budget deficit. And that pension pot was designed, if anything happened to the Manx economy, that the pensions were safe. Now, that has gone, and I don't know how much has been put back.
Wouldn't go very far these days, though, would it? I mean, it needs a great deal of input other than that.
Yes, but at the moment, I believe that very little has ever been put back, and pensions are now being paid from people's national insurance contributions that they're paying. So if there's any serious problem with the economy,
The state pension has always been a pay-as-you-go scheme, hasn't it?
Yes, what I'm saying is there used to be a special fund. So secure fund, because we weren't allowed to run a budget deficit, you know, constitutionally, just in case anything serious happened to the economy, it was like a buffer to make sure pensioners weren't hit. And that was used to build the new Nobles Hospital. It was supposed to be ring-fenced, and they said, what we'll do is we'll pay it back. And all I'm saying is the politicians promised to pay it back, and they make a promise, that promise should be kept.
So you reckon that the whole thing will be solved by just topping the fund up again?
No, I'm not sorry. All I'm saying is, for peace of mind, that pension fund was put in place for a specific economic safety reason. Mm. And all I'm saying is, if they promised to pay it back, then they shouldn't have looted it in the first place for the Nobles Hospital, because it's specifically for pensions. But if they said they're going to pay it back, it should be paid back.
You've got a separate issue as well in the fact that the actuaries have actually changed how long people actually live. So by the fact they've actually changed their mechanism of calculation, you know, we've actually had, you know, an awful lot of money wiped off the value of the money that we've got. Mm. So, and that's happened for local authority pensions, which I know. Yeah. And so we went from being pretty much in credit to being in deficit over the space of 1 year just because of the way they looked at it.
Right. Okay, well, we must move sideways at this point to let through a short commercial break. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio, brought to you by PDMS.
Today's constituency special features the five candidates contesting the one seat for Peel. They are Aaron Cacken, Ray Harmer, Leslie Hansen, Roger Gimbert and Tim Crucall. There's so many different items, gentlemen. Your five manifestos this time have covered quite an interesting range, apart from the Peel issues. And one that caught my eye, Ray Harmer, is you said that, in fact, the Isle of Man government could save a very large amount of money by controlling its spending on drugs, having a drugs list that worked with the GPs. Isn't that what happens already?
No, from what I understand is that it isn't very well coordinated. That the maximum purchasing power isn't maintained by getting the drugs together, and also there's some equipment that is sometimes bought when it isn't needed, perhaps only used once or twice. There are a number of issues there that certainly the analysis I've done see that there are savings. In other words, I mean, health spending is 120 million. We need to be looking savings across the board and trying to make the best use of our money, basically.
So, but the lists that go on now, that were, if you remember, controlled, they went into generic medicines, and the costing is done through the UK system. You don't think that's effective, then?
I don't. Talking to doctors, I believe that there are inefficiencies in there, and that the lists aren't maintained as well as they should
what
be.
What about inefficiencies or efficiencies, as the case may be, in the health service, Leslie? I mean, you have probably more experience in the health service than the rest of us.
Just going back to the drugs. One of the things that the European Union was supposed to design or set up for, and that was freedom of movement and goods, and yet it is illegal for people in the UK, doctors and dentists, to import drugs from Germany or France directly. Mm-hmm. The same drugs manufactured in Germany and France, you buy them from the UK, and I think you'll find basically that they're working it, and they're much more expensive than the UK. One of the things we could do in the Isle of Man is say any recognised drugs that are sold within the UK at the moment from manufacturers in France, Germany, etc., Switzerland, we could buy, trade directly, and we may find we get a lot lower prices in the drugs.
So what you're saying is you go directly, for instance, to a Spanish manufacturer, and you're cutting out the middleman, are you?
Well, no, in actual fact, the drug companies, it would appear, in the countries are running some sort of thing as regards different pricing structures, and you cannot directly buy a drug from Germany, which is a German drug you can buy in the UK, but you can't buy it direct from Germany because you find it's cheaper. And the drug companies are very powerful things. But that's something Adamant could think of, as bringing legislation that as long as the drug is recognised and used in the UK at present, mm-hmm. We could buy it directly from the various manufacturing countries within the European Union, and we may find that our drugs will be a lot cheaper.
One of the problems, Tim, isn't it, that when a member of a House of Keys becomes elected, he sets out with a whole series of ambitions and promises, and then the workload overtakes him. Sometimes, in fact, he gets bogged down in minutiae. I mean, if we look over the past 5 years, I mean, you said earlier that you thought there were quite a number of items of expenditure which were unwise, yet they would have had Tyrwhitt and budgetary approval at the time. Somewhere along the line, you must have voted for them.
I voted for some and I didn't vote for some others. I certainly didn't vote for the Queen's Pier. I didn't vote for, it didn't come to Timor, but certainly the Balakalawi roundabout. I thought that was a waste of money. I voted for Richmond Hill. I admit to that. Something needed doing there. And having sat in a car waiting to turn right into the Home Arrest for Horses with a car full of children on a wet day, with a lorry coming up the inside and a car pull out to overtake it and stop just before it ran into the back of me and nearly killed us all, you know, something needed doing. Yes, it was probably too expensive that was done, but there were still bits and pieces that were kept from the public and that, and we talk about transparency and freedom of information, you know, who got paid what for that, and, you know, people will never find out because deals were done and there's clauses signed, you know, who got paid what for the land and things like that, and the other bits and pieces. You know, we need to be more open and transparent, and, you know, that was wrong, that.
Well, if it was wrong, did you ask questions about it?
Oh, yeah, but as I said, there's a clause on, you know, we're talking about the land that was bought from Mr. Canepa. That's in the registry, how much he got for that. That's fine, that's a public document. But the rest of what he got paid was subject to a secret contract, if you like.
Any government deals, if anyone's going to do any deals with the Isle of Man government, they shouldn't be allowed to have secret deals. They shouldn't be allowed to have clause of confidentiality. If they're getting,
to some extent, you have to, Aaron.
If they're going to get government money, then at the end of the day, that money is there for the benefit of every single person on this Isle of Man.
Well, that money's taxpayers' money.
And that money should be accountable.
Shouldn't
we should be able to go
right
in
to
and ask for
a
figure on every penny that government spends, and we should be able to see it. You know, the argument about things being commercially sensitive and all the rest, it's irrelevant. If you like, every single one of us in the Isle of Man, every single person in the Isle of Man is a shareholder in the Isle of Man. And as a shareholder, we have the right to see the full accounts.
I don't disagree with you, except for the fact that if you need to review some or renew a contract 3 years later on, you've got to be careful, because if you put a price out there, you're giving away, you know, you might be showing your deck of cards, your pack of cards.
You said this with Iris, and it's like, and this is a big issue that we've got with this, and you said that you've argued against certain items which, you know, were not actually the best value for money, and yet you actually brought forward, you actually said in your opening speech, £39 million for the next phase of Iris.
£10 million of that for a belt dryer, which has a life of 25 years. That's not good business practice.
That's if we need one, and it's already been said if we need one. We're still looking at...
Twice the life of the asset.
We're still looking at everything before we do it, and there's a possibility we don't do that.
Why did you take it to Timwold that you actually wanted to buy something, which we didn't actually need?
The way the scheme is at the moment, that's what will be going in. But there's new technology around, and we might not have to
do it. It's over twice the life of the asset. Why, if you're actually looking at ways to actually save money, to actually be more responsible with how we spend our money, and it's our money... Why are you not actually saying that this is not cost effective? It's you're spending the money over 50 years, right? And you'll be paying for it twice. What's going to happen in 25 years when you replace the belt dryer?
This comes from somebody who was taken to Northern Ireland, said, yes, I'll have one of those. If we can have that, I'll have it. Then you come back
here. I'm talking about the actual system. I'm talking about what you brought to Timwold.
But then
in
you come
April
back here.
Chair of the Water and Sewage Authority, right? And you actually brought forward something, right, that is not good value for money. And it's not good business practice what you've done.
Well, you see, that's the issues. This is gets down to the micromanagement of government, I suppose. But there are the major issues that go through on promises, aspects, and the larger aspects of management. I mean, coming back to an issue that's stuck in people's mind from the last election, Tim, and that is the freedom of information legislation. Mm-hmm. It was promised by virtually every candidate, whether it's any value in it or not, it's beside the point. Every candidate promised it at the last election, and all those elected did. And there they were with trying to deal with the first reading of a bill on the last sitting of the House. Now, why in 5 years, if it was a promise in your election manifesto, didn't you do something about it?
We asked Mr. Brown, and there's no secret about that. He was asked in Timwold about that, and he said he was working on it, and he would bring it forward. For some unknown reason, which only Mr. Brown knows, as the Chief Minister, he held that within Comyn, and he never brought it forward. He said when asked in Timwold, or Keys, whichever it was, he was working on it, and it was coming forward. I think it was Ewan Watson that kept repeatedly asking him.
If elected this time, what will you do?
I'll support the bringing of it forward. Yeah, absolutely. It will cost us a lot of money. Mm. It's in my manifesto. I was, you know, quite happy to support it, but it will cost us a lot of money to implement it.
I think there's a difference, though, here between support and actually pushing something and driving something, and I think that's probably one of the key issues, generally speaking. You actually need somebody to drive these issues through. Otherwise, they don't happen. If we just support things, they won't happen. Now, just my experience, with the sewage, I want to get to the detail to get to grips with it. My experience of I was shocked because, you know, I was met by closed gates. I'd already been set for a day that I'd go there. And then when I got there, it was after an hour. Well, you have to leave now. You know, I was chaperoned. I was, wasn't allowed to take any information back. There is a fear of secrecy, and that's just wrong, but it's something we need to drive. It isn't just something we can support.
That was down from the Chief Minister. The Chief Minister actually said that we couldn't have the information at the Timwold Library. He actually said that the open accessible information was available down at Merrivale, at which you had to make an appointment to go down there, you had to go through security gates to get in there, and you were chaperoned, as Ray said, all the way through, and you weren't allowed copies of things. And it's just absolutely crazy. It's supposed to be accessible information.
You're giving the play around. That's the point. You're there for a full day, and after an hour, you're told, well, actually, sorry, we've got a meeting. Now, they knew that happened.
I know you said that happened. I can't deny it. You know, that's inexcusable. If you were told you'd have a day, that was inexcusable. I don't know why that happened. But I mean, as for somebody being there to explain it to you, you know, they don't know what your qualifications are to understand those. Yeah, I don't see a problem with that.
But again, it's the thing with politics and everything. It's all about timing. It's all about your time is your massive enemy, and you've got 5 years. That's it. You've not got 10. You've not got 15, and you have to hit things at the start. You have to go for things, and if people give you the runaround, it's a deliberate attempt, or maybe not deliberate, but it has the effect of you not being able to get the information.
But it's quite well known that there's delay mechanisms are built in all the forms of administration and governments in every country, and giving the new member a runaround is something that frequently happens. What makes you think that you're particularly qualified to get round this?
Because I think I can get to the nub of the issue and ask the right questions. In the end, we did get the information, but it just... And through persistence,
because you have more powers as an MHK to ask the questions.
Yes,
it doesn't
need
to get the information, though.
It actually took two MHKs to ask the questions on behalf of Peel. It was Chris Robertshaw and Peter Caron who actually got us the access to the information.
Well, that's part, comes back to part and parcel of what I said in the first place, where you have to try and make your alliances. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, in the west of the island, or the rest of the island, if you like, we're fighting a battle with a disproportionate number of MHKs in the East. You know, we need to look at the whole setup of representation per head of population. It's wrong and it needs dealing with.
Well, that's why I asked for the Boundary Review Committee to be brought back, which they are doing, and they'll be they'll make their first report in December, I think, or January this year coming. And it needs to be looked at. And in my manifesto, I say, and I said it at a public meeting recently, we ought to consider maybe dropping the number of MHKs and dividing it equally, doing away with some over here on the east of the island, and maybe we could be better represented on the west.
What I'm looking for from all you gentlemen and the way I'm questioning it tonight is not what we need to do, what we should do, what everybody would like us to do, but I'm wanting to find out what actually will be done. In other words, you know, we can all say we need to do something. My children used to come in and say, I need a new pair of very expensive trainers, but it didn't mean to say they got them. So, I mean, I'm trying to find out, if elected, what you will actually do about this sort of thing. And that brings me to you, to a question to both of you here. Roger, you highlight, and so does Tim, the need to shorten the waiting lists at the hospital. Now, how are you proposed to do that if you were elected?
I don't think I put that on my manifesto.
Well, I lifted it off your manifesto.
But anyway, yes, it's like reducing the waiting list for the hospital would be a good idea. I think that we do need to make certain that you know, we actually give good care. You've got people who, with that early diagnosis of cancer and everything else, would actually make a full recovery. So we do need to make certain that we spend money efficiently, so that we actually do reduce waiting lists where possible. And we do need to actually, you know, bring it forward.
Okay. So if elected, what would you do to try and improve that?
Well, you need to actually work with other members actually within Tynwald and the House of Keys. And the thing is that you can actually work closely together. Tim actually said that he worked with the five other new members. I got together with a group of candidates when I first declared back in September. And we've agreed to work together on things like the Freedom of Information Bill. You know, I've actually said that I'd be looking to bring that in within the first 12 months. We need to make it more robust, because the current proposed one isn't very good legislation. We need to be using, you know, something that's going to actually be substantial and not just allow the government to actually get out of it, which at the moment they can do, because they've got the ability in there for the Chief Minister to delegate anybody to be able to actually say that information can't be released. In the UK, it's only the Speaker of the House of Commons that can make that decision.
But they've still got that available to them. You've got to have that available to you at some stage, for
but
some reason.
The Speaker of the House of Keys.
It's like
I think I've just missed something here, but you didn't actually answer the question. How would you make the waiting list shorter? The only way you make waiting list shorter is to employ more people to get the waiting list cleared.
Absolutely.
The only way you can employ more people is to put more money into it.
No, you have to make more savings.
We've had a time where we've probably had more money than we deserve to have, and that hasn't been done then.
Yeah, we've been sucking money.
Where are we going to get the money to do it now?
If you actually look at the money that we wasted at the Richmond Hill, we've been putting money into the health services.
And we've been putting a lot of money into the health service over the past 30 years, there's no doubt in that. But I come back to what I said before. They were promising immigration control 10 years ago. If you have an open door, the resources will never keep up with the demand. You have to shut that door, and that's the only way we are going to get waiting lists down.
Just shut it completely?
Yes.
And then how do we get essential people with skills that we need? How do we bring those
in? Well, for a start, we've got an awful lot of essential people with skills in the civil service that they're saying they want to downsize. Now, those essential people could be transferred to the private sector instead of importing people into the finance sector from across. One thing.
Okay, so you're suggesting that we reallocate staff from government on the assumption the skills are there, of course, but yes.
10 years ago, they were saying housing shortages. I say to people when they talk about housing shortages, where have all the houses disappeared to? It's a record that keeps stuck in the groove. Need more houses, first time buyers. They've been saying it 10 years ago, every election.
But
we've built all the houses in the last 10 years, and they're still saying the same thing. We've got to shut this door.
Okay, so you close down immigration, but you can't just pull up a drawbridge, can you? You have to have some means of access and some means of movement.
Yes. Very, very limited.
The island's always prospered by people coming and going. It's been the nature of the island and right
throughout
history.
Close the borders.
Well, okay, you say it's prospered, all right. Give an example. This is parents now. I didn't know this. It's just young parents. Grandparents paid taxes all their life in Peel and the Isle of Man. Parents paid taxes all their life in the Isle of Man. Do all the right thing. Child is put on the waiting list for preschool. Comes up. Place coming up shortly. Goes down, where's the place? Oh, sorry, it's been given to someone, just got off the boat last week, because priority is given to children who can't speak English.
That's wrong.
Right. special needs teachers in the schools, there for Manx children with autism and learning difficulties. Children whose English is their second language are classed as special needs, and now the special needs teachers are being used to teach them English instead of helping the Manx children.
If that's
it can't go on. It's wrong.
It is wrong.
It is, and I've already asked.
I didn't know about it, Darren. Yeah. It's only going around the doorstep when you hear this from parents. Well, it's terrible.
As we're going to quickly run out of time.
Review it next year, and he said he will do before next year's intake.
Okay, well, let me ask all you people very quickly, do a round the table question, because we're getting very close on time. Literally, a yes or no would probably suffice. Though, if elected, Aaron, would you look to implement some form of immigration legislation?
I would like to see some sort of residency qualification.
Right. What would you do, Ray?
Generally, no. I think the work permit needs to be expanded and so that people don't get benefits, you know, until, you know, a certain time, 5, 10 years or whatever, to look at that.
And, of course, you would.
I would bring it in now. While our waiting lists are where they are, we cannot maintain our educational and health standards. They're already worse, to repeat myself, than they were 31 years ago when I started. And if we do not shut that door, it's going to get worse.
OK, Roger?
Work permit legislation should be, you know, made stronger.
And you don't approve of immigration controls?
No, I think that we should use the existing legislation that we do have to actually, you know, stop too many people coming in unnecessarily.
A lot of people, of course, think of immigration controls and they're immediately thinking of coloured people, but proper immigration control stops people from everywhere.
Absolutely, everywhere. Yes. And who do everything. Yeah. I mean, what Leslie has just said about, you know, education and health is worse now than it was 31 years ago. Correct. I just don't believe at all.
Right. Well, I can tell you now.
I know we've got waiting lists, but the rest of the...
1991, to see a consultant, maxillofacial consultant, was a 3-week waiting list. Now it's a 2-week waiting list just to see the GP in Peel.
31 years ago, I was at school. Now I've got kids at school myself.
Yeah.
Their education's better than mine was.
Absolutely. Yes,
schools
absolutely
are better now than they were 31 years ago.
Are the classes any smaller?
Yes.
Not much.
I was in a class of 30.
But they are,
people,
see, not much, but they are. You know, don't knock what's good.
Yeah,
we're too quick to knock what's good.
Not everyone's right with everything. No. Well, I'd certainly say education is...
But they're now cutting back on
teachers.
Let
me say, very, very quickly, I'm going to ask you have to do all this in one sentence, please. Could you tell me, please, going around the table, Aaron, why should the people of Peel elect you?
Elect me if you want someone who'll always be open, always be honest, always answer your questions to the best of my ability, and if I don't know the answer, I'll put my hands up and say, I don't know, and I'll find out.
Thank you. Ray Harmer?
I'm passionate for Peel, and I will drive and solve own problems and push for things to be done.
Right. Leslie Hanson?
You've seen my manifesto. I want the people of the Isle of Man to enjoy as prosperous a future as they had in the past. I'd just also like to say that I'm having a public meeting on Tuesday at 8 p.m. at the annex of Curran Home, because I'm unable to attend the requisition meeting on Friday.
Okay, fine. And Roger Gimby, please.
I feel I have the qualities that will be of benefit to Peel. I'm open, honest and straight-talking, and I would like to ask for your vote on the 29th of September.
And finally, Tim Crookall.
If re-elected, I will continue to serve the people of Peel and the island with 100% commitment, honesty, transparency and enthusiasm to help keep Peel and the island successful and the gem of God's earth that it is. Thank you.
Right, well, gentlemen, thank you. Time's up. We're at the end of this election 2011 constituency special, in which we met the candidates for the one-seat constituency of Peel. There were Aaron Cacken, Ray Harmer, Leslie Hanson, Roger Gimbert and Tim Crookall. Tomorrow, with the penultimate programme in the series, Beth Espy will be featuring Ramsay, and following that, in the final programme, I'll be meeting the candidates for Rushen. If you'd like to hear again all or part of today's edition, you can by going to Manx Radio's website and to the 2011 election section. All of the series are there. The production, studio production, was by Mark Tyree. The producer was Catherine Nicol. And I'm Roger Watterson. Goodbye.